And I thought about World War I, World War II. And I said, we memorize all of these people, all the death and destruction that happened. Then when I thought about World War II, I thought about the Jewish people, and I thought about how Hitler had imprisoned them and put them in camps, and they burned bodies and all of those things. And all of a sudden, I started to get a smell in my nose and in my stomach. And then I thought about 9/11 as walking through the streets of New York City and that smell of death that I remember. And then I thought about people going to hell and the smell of death. And it hurt me so bad, I had a stomach ache. And I got up in the middle of the night and I prayed and I woke my wife up. I said, I had a dream. And she said, what were you dreaming about? And I told her what I was dreaming about. She wanted to know, did I pray? I said, yes, I did. But it lets me know that it's either heaven or hell. Die once, live twice, or be born again once and die, and that's it. And I said, this is no joke. This is something that we do and we have to speak about day in and day out. I thought about the slave ships, and I thought about how people were laying on top of one another, and whatever had to happen, whatever they had to do, it was done. And I thought about that smell. And I said, heaven don't smell like that. But I don't know what hell is going to smell like. I have no idea. But I don't want to have that smell. I don't want to experience that smell. So on this Memorial Day, I'm thinking about those who have died in Christ. And I thought about those who have died without Christ. And I think if we look at our families, we can see that there's more that die without Christ than those that die with Christ. Last week, I talked about us being a watchman of our families, amen? And for some reason, when I kept going through different scenarios, part of that text did not leave me, that we are still watchmen over our families and each other. Amen? So I'm trying to figure out how do we do this as watchmen. And the scripture says that we are involved in a war. And that's the reason why I thought about Memorial Day and I thought about wars. Every day we're involved in a war. And when we look at the news today, we always get excited and upset at the things that people are doing on TV. ISIS, Syria, the people in Africa that are doing these atrocities. Amen? The other day, where was that? In Canada? Where was that? They blew up, the person blew up. England. In Manchester. They went to a concert. People went to a concert. They're on their way out. On their way out. Now, they just had time. But they were on their way out unexpectedly. Somebody blows himself up, killing 22 people, and I don't know how many more are injured. And he did it all in the name of some other god. 22 years old. All in the name of somebody else's God that's not the God that I know. Because the God that I know don't have us going around blowing ourselves up or harming or hurting people. We're not even supposed to harm or hurt people with our words, let alone our deeds. And I thought about that and I said, you know, we are in a war each and every day of our lives. We speak about not knowing the time that things are going to happen. If those people knew that by going to that concert, as a result of that, somebody was going to die, somebody was going to get hurt, how many would have went? It could have been them. They don't know who it could have been, but how many would have went? And I say, my Lord, we're in a war, and every day we get up, and we don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to end, who's going to get hurt, who's going to die, who's going to get injured. Those people's lives at that concert are changed forever. People in our lives, when situation happens, their lives are changed forever. Now, we know that in Ephesians 6, it says, finally be strengthened by the Lord and his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you take up the full armor of God, so that you can resist the devil, the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. I just want to stop right there for a minute. So that you may be able to resist in the evil day, prepared everything to take your stand. Are you prepared to take your stand? Because every day is a battle. So every day, are you prepared to take your stand? Stand therefore with truth, like a belt around your waist. Righteousness like the armor on your chest, on your feet, sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Now, I just want to stop there for a minute, because we always talk about that part of scripture. Put on the full helmet, put on the breastplate, put on the armor, put on the helmet, gird yourself. We talk about that all the time. Amen. But I want you to know, we don't just carry those physical weapons, but we are armed nonetheless. You see, because the battles that we are fighting right now are part of an ongoing war against evil. Now, I just want to say to you today that the biggest terrorist in the world that has always been and always will be is the devil. And if you look at him as a terrorist, you know that they always sneak up on you and they want to do things by surprise. Amen? The devil's not going to come in your face and say, here I am. He wants to take you by surprise. So the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So whatever the devil does and these terrorist acts that ISIS and other people do, there's nothing done new under the sun. Because the originator is the devil. And he's still here today. Amen? Jesus said of the evil of his day, you are of the father, the devil. See, the devil has children. The devil has children. He says, you are of the you are the father of the devil. The devil has children. You think that you're talking to somebody, but you're talking to one of the devil's children. Amen? And the desires of your father you want. That says to me that people who are children of the devil wants to do what their father wants them to do. Amen? Now, we know that every father loves when their children follow them and do what they want them to do. The father walks around with their chest stuck out because the children are doing what he wants them to do. Yesterday, I performed the wedding for my cousin. His name happened to be Philip. Well, let me tell you, Philip's father's name is Philip. But let me tell you something about Big Philip. He stuck his chest out there because his son was getting married. They praised his son Philip because he's a good kid. But to see the father so proud of his son doing what he wanted him to do, the devil sticks out his chest so proud when his children do what he wants them to do. Amen. Jesus goes on to say he was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because in him there is no truth. I ask you today, if you know somebody is a habitual liar and you can't get a straight answer out of them because they just lie so much, would you listen to them? So Jesus is saying the devil is a liar because there's no truth in him. So why do people listen? He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The primary purpose of terrorism is to strike fear in the hearts of others. A terrorist wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, who does that sound like? Kill, steal, and destroy. The ultimate goal of the devil is to eliminate Christianity and the knowledge of the true and living God. Satan is nothing but a terrorist. The enemy comes to kill, he comes to steal, and he comes to destroy. So you can see the correlation between terrorism and the Bible. So when you see these people acting out, all you have to say is nothing but the devil. Amen? Don't ask why did a person do something like that. It's nothing but the devil. Terrorist wants to kill and steal our security and destroy our freedom of worship. Now, you might not believe that, but I'm telling you right now, that's what they want to do. And the reason why I said that is because I read a book, and they asked this Muslim person, what is your goal? His goal is to see everybody be a Muslim in the world. That's his goal. To have everybody be a Muslim in the world. What is our goal? What is our goal? You see, they'll die for what they believe. We dare not go into harm's way. But ain't our God bigger than their God? Yes. Don't we have a big God? Yes. Shouldn't we be standing on the front lines disputing what the enemy is saying through these people? But we want to be politically correct. Politics has nothing to do with your salvation, your spirituality, or your soul. It ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen? You can be agree to disagree, but you spoke your mind. You don't have to just shake your head, yeah, 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 and don't say nothing when somebody tells you something that's not of Christ and is against everything that you're supposed to stand for and you believe. Let me tell you something right now. Here's my stance right now. I have nothing against a homosexual, all right? That's your choice, but the Bible says, right, it's a sin. You got a choice, just like I do, to do whatever I choose to do. Because God has given me that choice. I'm not going to answer for you. I do have to answer that I spoke to you about it. I do have to answer and say what it is that I do believe. Amen? So the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to bring a spirit of fear. Amen? The enemy is full of lies, and you can't trust him. We have to respect those in authority over us. And even though we know that they're full of lies, We respect them in their position of authority. Amen? But we don't have to believe the lie. Amen? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We must fight in the spirit. We must fight in the spirit. We talk about putting on the full armor, but we must fight in the spirit. You see, you put on the full armor to protect yourself from what the enemy is going to try to do to you. But we fight back in the spirit. Amen? We have an obligation to pray for our leaders, our militaries. We must intercede for those who are on the front line of battle. But we are facing a spiritual battle against spiritual forces. Amen? So the devil is out to destroy us, but God is on our side. Those forces that oppose Christ and Christianity, we must fight spiritually against them. Amen? Does it surprise you in this day and age who's fighting? Who's starting most of the conflict in the world today? The enemy, because he has people who worship another God that want us to worship that God. So it's no big secret that the Muslims and those that believe in that ideology are the ones creating the conflicts in the world. Now, I mean all Muslims, and I'm not saying that it's all of them, but it's those that are radical in their belief. Those who believe that God is telling them, their God is telling them, kill and destroy people. Amen? That are trying to force people into something. Those are the ones that I'm talking about. Amen? But I also want you to know that there's a war going on here right now at home. There's a war within each and every one of us. Those things that oppose the truth fight against spiritual enlightenment. Our carnal men, our inside, is at war with the spirit. You see, with our own mind and our own thinking, we are our own worst enemy. We're doing it to ourselves. With our own mind, with our own thinking, we are our own worst enemy. Amen? Romans 8:5-7 says this, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." Let me go through that for you again. Because we live according to the flesh. When we get angry immediately, that's the flesh. When we want to get back at somebody, that is the flesh. Amen? When we want to do to others what they did to us, that's the flesh. When your boss gets on your nerve and you want to give him a piece of your mind, that's the flesh. When pastor says something to you that you don't like, and you go and talk about it, that's the flesh. Bible says right here, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, I want to know how you live, because we're supposed to be spirit-filled people. Your mind and your flesh ain't going nowhere when you die. So if you live according to the flesh, guess where you're going to be? And see, we are our own worst enemies because we believe what we think. I just said that. We believe what we think. So we believe that we're holy and we're Christians because of the way that we think. No, it says you must live by the Spirit. Amen? Spirit-minded people is life and peace. You don't have no peace in your life. It's telling you right now, you're not living by the Spirit. Amen? You're living by the flesh. You can't have peace in the flesh. Amen? The scripture says, the carnal mind. I'm going to change that word carnal and give it another meaning. Our little mind, if that offends somebody, I'll change it to me. My little mind is enmity against God. For it is not the subject, it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. Amen? But we can go through all of these things, and I want you to know that I'm not here to sit up here and beat down on you. I'm here to give you some weapons that the Lord has given to us. So I want you to know what our secret weapon is. Somebody say, our secret weapons. You see, the enemy wants us to go through all of that stuff, but the God that I serve gave us some secret weapons, and we need to use these secret weapons so we can be spirit-minded in everything that we do. Amen? So our secret weapon starts in Ephesians 8:6, 18 to 20. It says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. And stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Woo. It says, pray at all times in the Spirit. That means when you pray at all times in the Spirit, that means you're praying in such a way that you're not going to let go, that your whole body is consumed with whatever it is that you're praying for. We talked about praying, and we talked about praying. And you could pray sometimes, and you're just praying. But then there's sometimes you could pray, and you're praying. And just like God knows your heart, he knows the type of prayer that you're praying. There's something called intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is persistence. It's powerful. It's ongoing. And even though you're not speaking it with your mouth, you're feeling it in your spirit. You're thinking thoughts. You know that, God, I need you to work on this. But we don't work and we don't pray intercessory prayer. We say a quick prayer and let it go. But my God, if you're chasing money, or you're chasing a woman, or you're chasing a man, you go intercessory for them, don't you? If your goal is to be rich, you keep doing everything. You read books about being rich. You go to seminars about being rich. You pay money about getting rich. But as soon as somebody says, we're going to have this intercession right here, we need you to come in and pray with us, we need you to take your time to do it, you don't want to do it. You have things going on in your life, and you're praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to come down and change some things. But what he's requiring of you, you're just not into that. It takes too much time. Maybe you got to go do this overtime and make this money. So you get your $2 extra that the government allows you to have, and you come in here with the same problems. And you ask the Lord to take care of it for you. Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer. He said, pray sometimes. No, pray a little while. Pray when you're not tired. Pray when you're feeling good. Maybe you don't want to pray when you're not feeling bad. He said, pray at all times. I said that this is an ongoing war. We're at war each and every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Bible says the enemy goes back and forth, looking. If you're not prayed up in the Spirit, you're going to be a victim. How many times? I'm not going to go there. It's all right, sir. It's all right, Father Thames. How many times you come up here to the altar with a victim spirit instead of a spirit of overcomer? Instead of a spirit having knowing that all things are possible through God. But you come here with a victim spirit. You come in here saying, I'm going to the altar today because I need something addressed. Instead of coming up here saying, I'm going up there to praise the Lord because it's already done. The scripture says, pray for me also, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. You see, he's saying we need to pray for one another so when we give the message, we're not whispering it, but we come with boldness. Those people whose father is the devil, they come to you with boldness. There's no shame to their game. If you stood in a line and you were at work and they said, all the Christians step forward, you'll be with them that step back. We need to do what we do with boldness. Scripture says, if you be embarrassed by me, I'm going to be embarrassed by you. I'm going to be embarrassed when you have the guts to stand up to me and say, Father, you're going to let me in. And you're going to say, depart from me. Depart from me. Remember, go back to last week. You all watchmen. I'm saying this because you know what? 22 people died. Who were their watchmen? A lot of people got hurt. Who were their watchmen? We were coming back up this way last night. Cars overturned, people dying. I know somebody died in those cars because it was on the news. Who were their watchmen? This is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people are going to get hurt. Some are going to die. Who are their watchmen? Paul says, for this I am an ambassador in chains. I pray that I might be bold enough in him to speak as I should. Now I just want to go through something about who we are in Christ. I'm going to go back to our secret weapon, but I want you to think of the words that Christ uses in the Bible. He says that you can be a slave to sin. Well, let me tell you what a slave is. A slave is a person who is legal property of another and forced to obey him. Are you a slave to sin? Does sin force you to obey it? Are you a prisoner? Are you a person captured and kept confined by the enemy? Are you a prisoner? We're in a war. We're in a war. You're a soldier for one side or the other. You're a slave for one side or you're a servant for the other side. Are you a captive? Are you a prisoner that has been confined? The scripture says, he came to set the captives free. Are you a captive today? Are you a slave to sin? Are you a prisoner of sin? Are you a captive? Paul calls himself a bond servant, one who is bound to service. Are you a bond servant today? Are you a servant, a person who serves others and performs duties? Christ doesn't call us his slave. You know why Christ doesn't call you his slave? Because he doesn't make you be obedient to what he says. He doesn't make you. But the devil and sin make you a slave, and it makes you obedient to what he wants you to do and what he says. Do you need an example? If you're a slave to drugs, them drugs make you go get some more drugs because you're obedient to that sin. Amen? If you have a sexual problem, okay, you're obedient to that sin because it makes you do what you do, whichever one it is. You are a slave to it because you obey the sin telling you to do something. Amen? It's like you have no choice. But my God, my Jesus came here to set the captive free. Amen? And he says, when you do things for me on your own volition, that you become a servant, because your whole attitude is to serve him. Amen? So when you look at these words and they're being used in the Bible, use them and look at them in the context of what they're being used in Scripture. Amen? So getting back to our secret weapon, in 1 Timothy, Paul is telling him, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. That's why, no matter who they are, we are to pray for all people. If you segregate your prayers, it's not effective. If your son or your daughter hangs out with a bad crowd, don't just pray for your son or daughter, pray for the crowd. Pray for the crowd. Pray for them all. You might not like little Johnny, but why does little Johnny have an influence on your child? So since he has an influence, little Johnny is missing something that you're trying to give your child, and your child doesn't see it. But if you influence Johnny, Johnny turns around and influences your child another way. Because the same things that you're telling your child, when Johnny says it to your child, it makes sense. How that happened, I don't know. But it does happen. Amen? He says, pray for all people in intercession and thanksgiving. He says, for the kings and authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good. And it pleases God, our Savior. And this is the part that we want to get to. Because even though we don't want to pray for these people, it says this is good and pleases God, our Savior. Who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? Now, I know that there's people in here that don't care whether somebody is saved or not. You don't care if they go to hell or not. And I can use some words that you tell them where to go, but you don't care if they go to hell or not. But the Bible says praying for others pleases God because he wants everybody to be saved. So that person that you can't stand, and you want to tell them where to go, well, that goes against the grain of what God wants. So the next time you think it, or you get ready to say it, hold your tongue. Hold your thought. Hold your feeling, because that's not pleasing to God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind. That man is Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Whether you like them or dislike them. Whether they're of this culture or that culture. Whether they're this color or that color. Whether they speak with an accent or not. whether they have a job or not, whether they're good or not, whether they got clean clothes or not. It says he died for all people. Now, this is what he says in verse 8. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. So how can you pray and lift up holy hands in anger? But some of the holiest people like to raise their hands and pray to a perfect God, a perfect Lord, and have disputes going on. How? We do it, but how do you expect your prayer to get answered? I don't know about you, but I got some prayers that I need answering. And I don't got no time to be arguing with you. I ain't got no time to be fighting with you. All of the stuff, most of the things that happen, it's little. But the enemy, the terrorist, the one who's full of lies, he want to keep you fighting against one another. This Memorial Day, let's put the liar of all liars back where he belongs. It's time to clean house. It's time to clean minds. It's time to set ourselves free. You're walking around in chains right now, and you don't have to. But because of your own mind and your own thinking that's not in the spirit, it's in the flesh. And you say, well, you know, I don't know. I ain't good with that. I'm not good with that. You know, I just can't. Let me tell you what the Bible says. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. No, we're not good with it. But when you're praying the Spirit, when you're in the Spirit, the Bible says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Whatever your weakness is, you pray in the Spirit. You do intercessory prayer. You be persistent with what it is that you have weakness in. The Bible turns around and says the Spirit will help you with it. My weakness is not your weakness. So therefore, you got to pray for your own weakness. I could pray with you, but most of the time, you don't want me to know what your weakness is, and I don't care. You come up here, I ask you, is there something that you want me to pray with you about? You tell me one thing, and I'm going to pray with you about that. But it could be another thing that you don't want to talk to me about. That's not my job to find it all out. My job is to pray with you. Because if you lie to me, it's okay. I'm not sentencing you. I'm not giving you a decision whether you're going up or you're going down. He is. But when you come up here, you better seek whatever it is that is your weakness. Sometimes people come up, they just want prayer. Hallelujah. I want prayer too. I'm ready for you to touch me as I touch you. I don't have no magic powers. I don't have nothing. Anything that I got, God has given it to me. And if you come up here and I pray with you, I'm going to pray with you through the anointing that he gives me. So if you give me something and God is telling me that ain't it, I'm going to look at you and say, are you really sure? Is this really what you want? Is this really what's going on in your life? I might walk away from you. because I don't have the time and I don't have the energy. I don't. But I know somebody who can. And I know somebody who does. You don't have to be honest with the pastor, but be honest with him. Hallelujah. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. Folks, that's our secret weapon. We can put on all of the armor that we want to, getting ready for the devil, as I said, to come against us. Amen? But how are you fighting? Nobody wants to sit back and just get beat upon. How are you fighting? I want some people in this church that are fighting against the devil. I need some people that are going to fight against the wiles of the enemy. I need some people in this church that are going to pray intercessory prayer for until change happens. We need changes in our lives. We need changes in our family. We need changes on our jobs. We need changes in our relationship. We need changes in the church. And we're not going to get it until we start doing intercessory prayer in the Spirit. The Bible, what I read was not my words. That's the Bible. It says, he who searches our hearts knows. He knows. So when you come up here, he knows. If you leave with nothing, if you leave with nothing, don't blame the pastor. Don't blame it on the ministers. Don't blame it on the prayer. Blame it on yourself. Blame it on yourself. Because in order to receive the Spirit, in order for him to intercede on your behalf, the first thing it says, he says he knows your heart. So you have to open your heart up. That's why I was singing that song, to open your heart up, to receive what it is the Lord wants you to receive today. Sometimes he doesn't do it through words. Sometimes he does it through song. Sometimes he just does it by praying. Sometimes you could just touch a person and they're so open to receive that they're receiving what the Spirit wants them to have. I want you to know this morning that God doesn't want you to have anything but goodness, peace. He's an abundant God. He has so much to give. He got more to give than Barry White. Barry White says, I got so much to give, and everybody fell out. God's got so much to give. He's tired of holding on to your treasure, to your blessings. He's tired of holding on to it. Have you ever held something for somebody, a gift for somebody, and you keep telling them and telling them and telling them, come and get it? After a while, you say, they don't want it. And you take it and you give it to somebody else. Why are you letting God give your blessing away to somebody else? Listen, he's not selfish. He gives. And if you don't want it, he'll give it to somebody else. But he's got something with your name on it. God's got a blessing with your name on it. Why don't you receive it? Why don't you take it? He's saying, here, this is yours. I died for you. I bled for you. I hung on a cross for you. I was beaten like a pulp for you. I had rocks thrown at me. I had to run for my life until it's ready. I cried blood for you. Why don't you take it? It's here. We're talking about our secret weapon. We're talking about prayer. Listen to the alertness of prayer. You see, prayer is not just something that you just do, but there's an alertness of prayer. You have to be alert. You have to be watchful. You can't wait for things to hit you upside your head, then start praying. You got to pray and pray and pray. Listen to what Nehemiah says in 4:9. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Oh, don't you know that people are coming up against you? Don't you know that they're plotting against you right now? But when you pray to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when you're on guard and you're watchful of what the enemy is trying to do, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Mark puts it this way. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. What he says to me, he says to you. What he says to you, he says to the next person. He says, watch. You don't know, so you watch. The other scripture says, you have to pray and be on guard. So our secret weapon is prayer. No matter what the enemy does, prayer. We have to be prayerful people. As watchmen, as watchwomen, as watch mothers, come on, as watch fathers, as watch brothers, as watch sisters, as watch sons, as watch daughters, we got to pray. Jesus says, watch that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming, I am he. The time is near. Do not follow them. But when you hear wars and uprisings, do not be afraid. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. This is for all these doomsday preachers you have out there. Because if you're watching and you're praying, you'll know what the scripture is saying. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that I see nation against nation. I see that coming very quickly. I see kingdoms coming against kingdoms. I see earthquakes and tsunamis from places we ain't never seen them before. My wife told me years ago, and I thought she was out of her mind. She says, when it's snow in July, I think things are going to start happening. 40 years ago, I thought she was out of her mind. You know what? I don't think we're that far from it snowing in July. I don't think that we're that far from it snowing in July. I see famines, places that shouldn't have famines. For so long, California was in a drought. I see pestilences in various places and fearful events. But then the next scripture is where I really want you to be, because he says, before all of this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. You will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourself. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. I don't know about you. In this war, I'm in it to win it. And the scripture is telling me that people that I love are going to come up against me. They're going to put me out there. They're going to talk about me. They're going to persecute me. They're going to put me in jail. And I'm going to stand before kings and I'm going to stand before governors. And I shouldn't worry about what to say to them, because he's going to give me what to say that they can't contradict, because it's going to be the truth. I say to you this today on this Memorial Sunday, prayer is your secret weapon. Each and every one of us is going through something. Prayer is your secret weapon. You see, because that scripture that says, put on all this armor so you can stand against, but it also says a little later on to withstand, because your stand is not going to be, okay, it happened once, so you get ready and you stand once and it happens and it's over with. But you're going to have to withstand. It's going to be more than once. It's going to be many blows. He's not going to stop, but you have to have that secret weapon that no matter what he does, no matter how many times he tries, he can't win. He can't win. I know a lot of people are not competitive, but let me tell you something. The devil's very competitive because he keeps trying. God ain't competitive because he done won it already. You know, when somebody's won it already, that little competition thing ain't got nothing to do. They ain't worried about it at all. That's how we need to be in Christ. Every time the devil does something against you, it's all right. My God's got this. And prayer. Prayer is your key. Let us stand.